If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle. On this special episode, we are joined by Eddie Olczyk, who just put out a book. It's called Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life. We discuss his battle with cancer, his days as a Blackhawk, some of the great stories along the way in his great career. That is coming up, but we started with Eddie and discussed just his big picture look at the Blackhawks' start to the current season.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness, and packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, Edzo, before we get to the book, I want to ask you about the Blackhawks and the situation they're in right now. Through the first 14 games, they have 11 points. Big picture, what do you like and what concerns you?
Well, I think the concern is that, you know, the concentration of the defensive part of the game, PB, at times they look like it's been corrected, and then sometimes they go long stretches where it's been a battle for them. And they've talked about it from day one. This came from Jeremy Colliton. It came from the players. They said, look, if we don't improve in our own zone, it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be a battle. And the numbers don't lie.
Right.
So that to me is obviously an area of concern because we've already played whatever the number of games, 14, 15 games, right? So the positive aspect for me is you see the emergence of Adam Boqvist, Kirby Dach, couple of young guys that are still feeling their way around the National Hockey League. I know what that is all about. But, you know, to me, it's the bringing in of the young guys.
Right.
And having them learn from the core guys. And I think there's a huge benefit. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but certainly down the road. So I like how they've brought those guys up. And, you know, sure, I'd like to see them play more, but hey, that's a coach's decision. And, you know, all these guys are used to playing a lot, and all of a sudden they come to the National Hockey League and they've never sat on a bench for 53 minutes in a game. It's just the reality of it. So I like the integrating of the young guys with the core guys, and hopefully they can step up their game and maybe help some of the core guys as well.
All right, let's transition to your book, Eddie Olczyk, Beating the Odds in Hockey and Life. What was the process like for you just to put paper to pen and to write this book?
Well, I had the opportunity a couple different times, PB, to think about writing a book. And I just kind of got cold feet over the years. I'm going back 15 years. And, you know, I mean, I've lived an incredible life. Had a lot of adversity like we all do. Coming from our great city, getting a chance to be the first American-born native son ever to be drafted by his hometown team in the first round. That didn't happen in the early 80s or the 70s here where a Chicago kid would be playing for the Blackhawks. So, you know, I thought about it and I was like, nah, you know, who wants to read about that and hockey stories and a few horse racing stories? But I really kind of made the decision, and, you know, no pun intended, but I think the final chapter on me deciding on wanting to write the book was when I got sick. And I just thought, you know what, maybe I can help somebody out there. Maybe somebody can get inspired by my story, not only growing up as a young kid in our town and living a dream and having to overcome a lot of obstacles, but also having to overcome and conquer cancer. And that's my goal. I really believe that, is that I'm hoping to inspire one person either to get through the day, help them get through their battle, or stay away from it by making sure that you're raising your hand if you're not feeling good, or doing precautionary testing, especially with colon cancer. And when I got sick, the recommended age was 50, PB.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been cancer-free, they've lowered it to 45. So what does that say? The numbers for colon cancer have gone way up in our country, in North America. So they're saying, hey, we make sure that we got to have people tested. So I would encourage everybody out there to don't sit there and say it's not going to happen to me, because I felt that was pretty healthy. And the next thing you know, my world was turned upside down.
And, you know, that's where the book starts, with the call, you finding out about the stage 3 colon cancer. And not everyone knows that your son Eddie and fiance Erica were about to have their engagement party. Yeah. And their wedding ultimately became one of your goals, right? Things that you were trying to check off and get to. And it kind of helped pull you through that long battle.
Yeah. I mean, when I was going through my toughest time, and it was treatment too, PB, I was ready to quit. I mean, my side effects just broke me down, and I've never quit at anything in my life, whether I'd be down 7-1 in a hockey game, standing behind a bench in Pittsburgh, or playing, or at the racetrack being down $25, all right, maybe $2,500, but I was never going to quit. And I told my wife, I'm done. How am I going to get through today, let alone get through the next, you know, 5 months? And my wife just grabbed me, and she said, you got to fight. You got to fight for me. You got to fight for our kids. And you got to fight for all the people that love you. And I cried for 30 minutes, and I needed that. And I got back on my feet, and I started setting goals for myself. Every 2 weeks I get the chemo, as you know, PB, being one of my great friends. And, you know, it was hard. Those days are hard. And I needed to set goals for myself. So I put the hockey helmet back on, and I started putting calendars, you know, like doing more games and getting back in the booth with the great Pat Foley. And the Breeders' Cup was in November, and you know, getting ready for the Super Bowl, and, you know, and being there on Eddie and Erica's wedding 1 year to the day I got diagnosed with cancer, August the 4th, 2018, a year to that day I got diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. So that helped me get through. And instead of looking at the big picture, I just tried to look at it day to day. And the big picture, aren't we all just day to day? And that's how I kind of approached it with some really difficult times.
Back to the hockey side of your life, rink rat. There are certain guys on this team who love to be at the rink. I think we know who they are.
Yeah.
Not everybody does, though.
Right, right.
You, from an early age, knew you wanted to spend a lot of your time in a building like the one we sit in right now.
That's all I ever dreamed about, PB. Growing up in Niles, shooting pucks in my family's garage and basement. Then we moved to the South Side. We moved to Palos because my dad's grocery store business. And for me, it was I wasn't going to live my life wishing I would have done something by not going to the local rink and skating, playing rat hockey or public skating or shooting pucks. I always had that dream and vision, is that I wanted to get the opportunity to play in a National Hockey League. And look, I grew up at the old Chicago Stadium, and to have sat in the stands, looked through the glass onto the ice, and then all of a sudden as an 18-year-old kid, I'm out on the ice looking through the glass into the stands was the ultimate. It was a dream come true. So you're right. If I had any free time, I would be at the rink.
Now, also being a hometown kid, drafted by the Blackhawks and playing for them, it brings some pressure to the equation.
Sure.
And you talk about that in the book, the pressure you carried as a Chicago kid trying to play for your hometown team. That was hard on you, wasn't it?
It was. I felt like I had, you know, I had 38,000 eyeballs on me every night at the old Chicago Stadium, and the last thing you want to do is let down, you know, so-called your people, my family, my friends, the people that helped support me all the way. And look, my first 2 years were great. First year we went to the conference finals. We were 2 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, I was living the dream. Second year, I had a great year. I was playing with the great Troy Murray. Troy won the Selke Trophy for the best defensive forward in the National Hockey League. I had 79 points. Things were great. And in my third year, PB, I just had a bad year. It didn't get off to a great start, and I just struggled. And then the next thing you know, the pressure was on. You know, I had 120 minutes of penalties that year. I just was trying to fight my way out of the slump I was in, and I just had a bad year. Usually it's a sophomore slump, right? I happened to have the junior slump, and then the Hawks decided to trade me, and it probably ended up being the best thing that ever happened in my career, is that I left home after my third year, and I went and had some incredible years in Toronto and Winnipeg, and the so-called rest is history.
When you're doing a book and you're trying to tell your story, I would have to think it's hard to narrow it down, the stories to tell.
Could have been about 800 pages.
Yeah,
really, right.
And it's already a lengthy book. I mean, I don't usually read that much.
Yeah.
But you mentioned some teammates. Which teammates you mentioned? Is it hard to leave certain folks out, some teammates out?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or do you think you kind of hit them all?
Yeah, man, I think I hit the guys that made the biggest impact on me. Not necessarily PB as a player, But I think that helped mold me into the person that I am today. I mean, I look at a guy like Troy Murray, who I idolize. I mean, I watched Troy come into the National Hockey League, and he took me under his wing. And, you know, he played on the most famous line ever to play for the Blackhawks, the Clydesdales, and along with the great Kurt Frazier. But, you know, it's hard, but, you know, I did try to just narrow it down in certain situations, how certain players or certain coaches affected me in my career. And, you know, anybody that's in that book meant a lot to me, even more so is the person who they are than necessarily maybe the jersey that they wore in the National Hockey League or, you know, any other role that they might have in the league.
One of my favorite stories in the book is about you being traded from the Leafs while Diana is in labor. I mean, that story is as good as it gets.
Yeah, yeah. My wife goes into labor November 9th of 1990. We had a game the next night, oddly enough, against the Blackhawks. I'm playing for the Leafs. And back then, we didn't have any cell phones. So he had to call from a house phone or a pay phone and say, hey, look, I'm not coming to the morning skate. Diana's in labor, but I'll be at the game the next night. Fast forward, Diana's not cooperating at about 4:30, 5 o'clock for an 8 o'clock game on Hockey Night in Canada in Toronto. And I get a tap on the shoulder while Diana's gone from like a 3 to an 8. Like, she's accelerating. I'm like, all right, she's cooperating. I'm going to be able to get to the game. We got our priorities. And the nurse hands me a note. It says the Maple Leafs are on the phone. I said, look, tell them Diana's having a baby. I'll be at the game. She leaves. She comes back 30 seconds. She goes, no, Mr. Olchek, they really want to talk to you. And I'm like, so like an idiot, I leave the room. The doctor's got his catcher's mitt on, and I'm leaving the room. I get on the other line. It's the PR guy, Bob Stelic, and he goes, how's Diane? I said, Bob, she's having a baby. I'll be at the game. He says, call us before you come. I'm going, I'm not calling you. I'll be there. He goes, hold on a second. He hands the phone to the general manager, Floyd Smith, and all he says is, Eddie, we hate to do this to you, but we just traded you to the Winnipeg Jets. And I was like, you got to be bleeping me. My wife's on her back getting ready to give birth, and you called me out of the delivery room to trade me? So I called my dad, I called my agent, I called Mark Osborne, who I got traded with to Winnipeg. I went back into the room. Diana's pretty much like, where in the hell have you been? And the doctor's at the foot of the bed. He's looking at me like, you know, we're having this conversation while she's having a baby. And I said, my aunt's sick. I don't know what to say. I don't want to tell her. And then she goes, where are we going? And I'm like,
oh, God.
She's psychic and pregnant. Look out. So she looks at me, looks up at the ceiling, and she says, Winnipeg. And I was like, psychic. Effing believable. And I just shook my head up and down. She went from an 8 to like a 1.
Oh, geez.
Tommy Olchek wasn't born for another 3.5 hours.
Wasn't.
He goes, it's a little too chilly in the bank. But it ended up being one of the greatest places ever
and
played in Winnipeg.
And that's how things work out in life, right? What was it like being a Ranger in 94? I mean, I know the ups and downs and the coach and the whole nine yards, but like the essence of being a Ranger in 94, ending that spell.
It's the greatest. The city of New York and the Rangers, PB, as you know, waited 54 years to end that drought. And being a Cubs fan, we waited 108 years. So
I
don't feel as bad
for
the Ranger fans. But, you know, my role was very small on that team. But I thought I knew how hard it was to win until we actually did it. And to win it in New York, to win it with the character guys that we had on our team. PB, we were the best team. We didn't play like it the first couple of weeks. We actually lost and tied to San Jose and Anaheim back-to-back that year. And it looked like the wheels were coming off, but then we reeled off like 25 or 28, and we were the best team. It's the highlight of my career, without a doubt, to have won the greatest trophy in all of sports. And it's hard to believe 25 years have gone by, but it was proud to be on that team. And it's why you play the game.
To finish your career in Chicago, what did that mean to you?
It meant a lot because I started here. It did not end on a great note when I left after my third year. But then I got a chance to come home and, in essence, pretty much retire as a Blackhawk. And kind of came full circle. I dreamed about it as a kid. I played my first game, scored a goal in my very first game against Detroit. Played a lot of games in between. And then I was able to play my 1,000th game, which is something I'm very proud of, to play in the National Hockey League and then play my last game with my favorite team. So I think for me, I was hoping to come back and actually retire as a Blackhawk, but I wasn't allowed to do that. But I think what happened to me is when I had my last shift last year, I think that was my closure, PB. It was almost 18 years in the making where I finally had a chance to say thank you. And I'll be forever grateful to Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, and Jay Blunk for allowing me that privilege to be able to have that last skate. And I told John this. I said, I feel like there's closure now because I felt like it was an empty – there was just a piece of me that was empty from when I stopped playing in 2000. Not that I wanted a press conference or big, you know, signing, one, you know, nothing. I never had a chance to say thank you because everything I have that I owe to the game of hockey, I have because of the game. And I wanted to say thank you. And I think having that last shift, one more shift, I think helped put closure for me. And I'm very much at peace with that.
It's funny how life works out. I didn't realize it until I saw it in the book that when your career came to an end, you went to John McDonough for some advice.
Yes, I did.
And he gave you some advice at that point, but it's so funny how you end up coming to work for him.
Becoming my boss. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, look, when I was thinking about continuing to play, but I had an opportunity to do some TV, and I called John right away because I had known John a long time, and I just wanted to get his opinion on, you know, geez, if I go to Pittsburgh, you know, I thought I was going to get the Blackhawk job to work with Pat then, but they gave it back to Dale, and he came back, and I asked John, I just want to get John's opinion, and he's been forever a huge olive branch and a mentor to me in so many ways. But I just wanted to talk to him, and he took my call, and we talked for about 25 minutes, and I ended up going to Pittsburgh, was there for 3 years broadcasting. Then I coached for a couple years. Then I got whacked, and then I come back home here, and I've been back ever since. And then sure enough, John's been back for here is our boss for the last 11 years. So it's kind of, you're right. It's funny how small this world is, especially the hockey world.
What will folks learn about your battle with cancer in this book?
I think that I was very much at peace when I was going through it, PB. I think you know me as well as anybody. I've always let the most important people in my life know how I felt about them, and I think that helped me get through, because if my time was up after that cancer battle, it would kill me to not be here and to not have the most important people in my life know how I feel about them. And that helped me get through. And look, I had some dark times. I had enough quiet time to last me a lifetime. And you drift into oblivion and you wonder what's going to happen. But I think with the book is that I think three things. I hope you do. I hope you cry a little bit. I hope you laugh. And I hope you love a little bit more. And if I can inspire one person or help them, as I said earlier, PB, then it was well worth the 16 months of putting that pen to paper. And again, I know you're dying to say it, and some of our colleagues, there's no crayons with this book, all right, PP? You got to bring your own. You can color in some of the pictures, but no crayons allowed, all right?
Last one. You talk about family. We know how important friends are in your life. But especially when you're going through cancer, you had your four kids write a chapter about how they got the news.
Yeah.
How difficult was it for you to read it, the first draft, once they showed that to you?
PB, full disclosure, I have not said this. When we brainstormed about the idea, I told Perry Lefko, my co-author here with this book, and my wife Diane, I said, you know, I want the kids to be in this book. I just don't want a quote. I want them in the book. And we kind of spitballed and brainstormed, and Diana was like, well, you know, maybe can they write something in the book? And I mean, we started thinking, and then we got it together and said, look, let's let them write what they were seeing through their eyes when I was sick. And I did not read anything that they wrote until this book was out.
Really?
And it took me 5 days to read it, those four chapters. Because I didn't, not that I was going to change anything, but I wanted it to be authentic and I wanted it to be real. And it's probably some of the greatest compliments I've got about the book is how my kids kind of described going through it. And look, there are millions and millions of people that could do the same thing for their loved ones that are going through it. And I think it's very therapeutic to be able to put pen to paper and share that with people, because we're not alone, whether you're sick or you're part of your caretakers or caregivers.
You're very brave to take us along this journey, because a cancer touches so many people. Yeah. You didn't wait till you were out of the dark phase to write this book. You would come on Cap Show and you would talk to us on those Mondays when you were going through chemotherapy, looking around the room filled with other people that were in your boat. So thank you for all those that are going to read this book. Again, the name of the book is Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life, Eddie Olczyk's story with Perry Lefko. Thank you, and just thanks for just being an amazing friend and, you know, an icon here in Chicago that so many people can look up to.
PB, I love you, man. Thanks, all right. Thanks for having me, pal. Appreciate
Eddie, thank
it.
You.
Thanks.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Our thanks to Eddie Olczyk for joining us. And thank you for listening. As always, we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.